You're listening to Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM. This is Christian Worldview with Tony and Hannah. To be a part of our program, dial toll-free 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Then you can talk to our hosts, Hannah Miller and Dr. Tony Bean.
Good morning. Welcome into a Wednesday edition of Christian Worldview with Tony and Hannah. This is Tony Bean, Vice President for Student Life and Christian Worldview at North Greenville University. Christ makes the difference. My co-host is Hannah Miller.
Outspokenly opinionated and unashamedly conservative, this is Hannah Miller, informed and unafraid.
Okay, in case you haven't heard, there's a hurricane coming. That's the first thing you need to know, that it's really coming. Should get here tomorrow night into Friday morning, is what they're saying. It might stall over the coast and bring
and
a lot more rain.
And then jog to the south, that's what I heard.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to make of that. I mean, you know, I looked at the WYFF website and they said that could mean more impact for our area. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's about as vague as you can get. What does that mean? Does that mean we're going to get more rain? Does that mean we're going to get wind? Does that mean we're going to get, I mean, are little green men going to pop out of the clouds and come and chase us around? What does it mean that it's going to turn and may come over the upstate area? They're still saying 4 to 6 inches of rain, which is a lot, but we can get 1.5, 2 inches in a good hard thunderstorm. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not minimizing this. I'm just asking the question. And there was no report in the WYFF on the alert this morning, which I waited for at 5 o'clock. You know, mm-hmm. This is the big, ooh, it's coming. And we need to know this. But it didn't have a thing to say about, it just said that there could be more of an impact to the upstate. And I need more information than that. Does that mean we're going to get, are the winds going to be 40, 50 miles an hour?
Well, I was checking yesterday, and they're like, you know, 10 mile per hour winds.
I know.
I got the phone call where everybody at the barn is like, Hannah, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to do anything to kind of batten down the hatches of the barn for the horses? And I was like, well, guys, if you look, I mean, we're going to get some rain and maybe 10 mile per hour winds. Like, we're not doing anything unless things drastically change between now and then.
Well, that's what I'm looking at. When you look at the extended weather forecast, it's a 40% chance of rain on Saturday.
Yeah.
Now, Sunday and Monday, you know, we could get, I mean, more rain, but we still don't have any more information than that. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to make decisions here.
Right.
I mean, we've got weekend this weekend at North Greenville. We have 130 families that have signed up for a family weekend, and that's almost 450 people mm-hmm. that are supposed to come. Well, if we're going to postpone it or move it to another Saturday,
we need to be able to let people know.
We need to do that yesterday. But yesterday we decided, based on the models and the weather forecast, that we're going to go ahead and have it Saturday mm-hmm. because, I mean, this weekend,
right.
because we're still playing the football game.
We're going to have some rain.
And there's a possibility we could have some rain. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what I, you know.
Yeah,
I'm thinking.
Well,
I've
wondered about the WEG. I mean, they've got the World Equestrian Center games here, and you know, up at the Tryon Center, we've got thousands and thousands and thousands of people here.
Well, they're still. I mean, they're.
And I mean, I'm
all
like,
they said was they're monitoring the weather to make sure the horses and the people are safe.
Yeah, I mean, there they have you know these million-dollar
horses. I thought it was interesting.
They
said the
there.
Horses first.
Well, I mean,
you know.
Those are harder to replace, I guess. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
but
no,
that's how
I know,
their attitude
I mean,
is.
That was my question. I mean, you know, I get it, how much the horses cost, but how about, you know, you could put 10 of those horses, not worth, 100 of them's not worth a human life.
That's right.
So, because they're horses. They're mm-hmm. they're good animals, and we should love and care for
but
them.
But my question, I guess, is will they postpone anything? I mean, it's supposed to rain. That's it. So, I guess,
well,
the games
I don't
will
know.
Carry on.
I mean, there's rain. And then
there's rain.
Rain.
Yeah.
You know, there's epic rain. There's biblical rain. There's where you know
right.
we have floods for days. And I don't know what we're talking about.
And
there's
I don't know
still
if they're prepared for that.
The
kind
last
of
weather forecast I saw was 4 to 6 inches of rain. That's a lot. It's not a catastrophe.
Yeah, it's not a catastrophe.
It's a lot of rain.
Well, and that's what I told people yesterday when they were calling me asking what we were going to do with the horses. And I was
look
like,
at this face over here.
You know, Gary.
This face, he's like, nope, it's coming. It's the apocalypse, and you guys are making light of it. I can't believe it. We're gonna have, you know, what?
I don't know. You might see 30 mile an hour winds, not 10. But we'll see.
And we might.
Depends on how fast it comes down.
It may impact harder. Yeah. You know, I mean.
If it stalls out, then.
But see, even as a horse person, the most danger that my horses will be in is if the building collapses on them. So I don't even put them in. If there's going to be strong winds, unless it's strong enough to pick them up and carry them away, it's the only time I'm worried about it. Yeah. Because the worst thing that could happen is the building be knocked over on them, so I just leave them out and say go. And
yeah, Dale Gilbert was talking about 3 feet of water this morning. He said now 3 feet of water will float a car, and it'll if there's a telephone pole down or something like that, it'll pick it up and turn it into a projectile. Okay, well, are we getting 3 feet of,
I mean, that's what I'm saying, we're not gonna get three feet
of water up here. They're talking about a storm surge down there of somewhere between 3 and 6 feet. Now they get that would be significant. So, you know, folks at the coast need to get out. They need to batten down the hatches, which a lot of people are doing. Mm-hmm. And we're just really kind of having a difficult time figuring out what the impact of the storm is going to be here. And what to do
about
it.
Yeah, it is obviously
no
matter
what, a football game Saturday
on the coast. But
it looked like we were going to play a doubleheader Saturday, that Citadel and CSU were going to come up here and play in the morning, and then we were going to play at 7 o'clock. But that's all been, you know, they've decided to reschedule the Citadel CSU game rather than come up here and play. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we'll keep an eye on it. The main thing you need to know this morning is that the track of the storm, the last report, they've changed the track slightly. And what I mean is it's still going to likely hit in North Carolina, but it could take a left turn and come more up through the upstate of South Carolina. They say that it's going to weaken on Thursday before it hits. I mean, I guess that's because it slows down, and when it slows down, it doesn't pick up as much energy from the ocean. And so we don't know what strength it will be when it actually makes landfall, but even if it's a Category 3, I mean, that's 110 mile an hour winds, you know, winds. A category 4 is like 130, which would be catastrophic. So we'll see.
So
what,
it picks up energy from the ocean. Is that like you? Are you like a hurricane then? You pick up energy from the ocean?
Absolutely. When I go to the ocean, drains me of stress. I mean, it's like somebody.
It just sucks it right out.
It does. When I lay down on the beach, it's like somebody hooked up this suction device to my feet. And I can feel all the stress being pulled out into the ocean, which is
so
where it belongs.
So when the waves pull away, it's just
into the sea of forgetfulness.
Sucking it right away.
It's where
from Tony.
It just goes right out in there. So you know, but hurricanes, no, they're different. They actually pull. That's probably my stress that's fueling Florence.
I mean, it's pulled
all my stress for years out into the, and now it's sitting out there just waiting for Florence to come along, and it's gonna
suck it all up in there.
What the heck am I talking about? 1-888-660-WLFJ 888-660-9535. Yeah, please. It's definitely time. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
And here are your hosts, Hannah Miller and Dr. Tony Bean.
All right, welcome back to the program. You got a story there this morning
Which one? Well, no warning.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, I just thought we talked about this during the show prep part of the show that doesn't actually get out on the air, but about the police officer that walked into somebody's apartment and decided to shoot him.
Right. Well, and I've heard this scene is like the worst police shooting yet. And everybody
talking about how you just quoted David French.
But I've seen others talking about, you know, this is really horrible. And I've seen some details about it, but this is the most detailed report I had seen on it. So here are the details.
Okay.
There's Amber Geiger, and then there's Botham Shim Jean. Okay. So Geiger and Jean. And Geiger's a police officer, and she was going home, no police uniform, just in a casual, you know, civilian clothes. And she goes to the wrong floor. She goes to the apartment directly above hers. And she goes to take her key card and to unlock the door, and the door is already slightly ajar, according to her testimony. She pushes the door open, and according to her, it's dark, and she looks across the apartment and sees a big dark shadow, and immediately thinks that there's an intruder in her apartment, and according to her, she pulls her weapon and shoots twice and kills him, okay, before entering the apartment, is what she says. And so she said, I thought I was facing a burglar, drew my firearm, gave verbal commands, which she claims that Jean ignored, And then, like I said, fired twice, and then entered the apartment, called 911, turned on the lights, and realized that she was in the wrong place and had made a mistake. Well, according to witnesses who, I guess you call them witnesses, even though they didn't see anything, they heard something. There was a witness on the hall who said she was banging on the door, you know, yelling, "Let me in, let me in." And then they heard another man's voice saying, "Oh my God, why did you do that?" And so there was a witness who says that happened, that vocal interaction happened. And then, you know, I'm reading something else. Okay. But anyway, that's the issue. And she's being, 3 days later, she was arrested and being charged with manslaughter. And
now, an arrest warrant was signed the day of the incident, but then the Texas authorities decided to turn it over to the Texas Rangers. And the Texas Rangers asked for a delay in executing the arrest warrant until they had a chance to look into it. Because they were like, you know, okay, right. we don't know anything about this, so we're not going to just go arrest her because you're asking us to investigate. We have to investigate before we make an arrest. Mm-hmm. So there's some people making a big deal.
Well,
even
they're like,
David
she's
French,
the criminal. Yeah, I mean, that's what he said. He's like, she's a criminal. She entered somebody else's apartment.
It's not been established that she's a criminal.
She's racist. I mean, those are the things that everybody's throwing around because this was an African-American man.
I understand that,
but there are some things. And I'm not defending him. That's what I'm saying.
Look,
is what they're saying.
Her story and her defense is not very good, okay? Mm-hmm. I was going into the wrong apartment, okay? Maybe I can. I remember we were on vacation one time down at the beach, and we were staying at a condo, and I'd come up from the beach, and I was walking down the hall. Now, I pushed the wrong door open. I mean, there was a door. The door that I thought was the door to our condo was actually next door.
Right. It was
but the stuff that belonged to our grandkids was kind of in between. And I couldn't remember which side. And so I got there and I thought, oh, this is it. And I pushed the door open and I'm walking. There's a little hallway and there's people sitting around in there and they could have been my family. And so I'm walking in and I got all the way into kind of the kitchen area. And I look at all these strangers looking at me like, you know, what's this? And I said, well, hi folks, you're not my family, so please enjoy your day and I'll go find them. And then, you know, I turned around and walked out. I could hear them laughing as I went out the door. So I mean, that's, of course, it wasn't night and they weren't sitting in the dark. See, I got a lot of questions about this. She says she opened the door and you know, it had to be dark, right? Because if her story is, I went to the wrong apartment, the moment the door opened, she would recognize that it was not her apartment. So it had to be dark for that story to make any sense. So what's this guy doing sitting in the dark in his own apartment or standing in the dark?
Well,
why
is TV on? I mean, well, yeah, maybe he's watching.
I don't know.
How long has she lived in the apartment, too? I mean, because if she just moved in. Yeah, I mean, I could see a mistake like that being made. But if she's lived there for a couple of years, I would say, you know, probably not likely that you ended up on the wrong floor. Was there alcohol involved? Nobody mentioned that. Maybe if there was alcohol involved, and I could see her getting on the wrong floor kind of thing. But nobody's, you know, there's just
She banged on the door
according
and said, let me in.
Yeah, according to a witness, she said, you know, she had said, banged on the door and said, let me in, let me in. Then there was two gunshots that went off. And then somebody else, you know, a man's voice said, you know, oh my goodness, I can't believe you did that.
Well, I can say. Did they know each other? Has anybody been able to establish whether there was a connection between her and this guy previously?
There's just a lot of questions.
I mean, that's the first thing. I want to know why the lights were out. I want to know, did they have some kind of relationship established? Can we find a place where they've had an interaction before, even casually within the last month? Is there... You know, what about this witness? Are they reliable? Is this was this the only person that heard something? Were there other people nearby? And did the other people hear the same thing? Or did they? I mean, there's just a lot of questions here. We don't have enough information to make a great decision. But just let's say that I had to sit here and make the call on just what I've got. This is fishy. And she definitely needs to be arrested. I mean, you don't pull your gun and shoot people. You know, and as a police officer, she should know that. You know, particularly, she's off duty. She's not, You know, David French says that when she entered that apartment, she became a criminal, and they're trying to get, because right now she's charged with manslaughter.
And
they're trying to get the grand jury to up that charge to murder. Mm-hmm. Second-degree murder. I guess it'd be second-degree, and unless they can find some evidence that it, she would have, I think she would have had to known the guy for it to be premeditated. There'd have to be some motive attached here.
Right.
And so I can't speculate on a motive without more information. But, you know, the fact that I think it's going too far at this point to say that she was a criminal when she entered the apartment.
Right.
That she was an intruder, that she was an armed intruder. Well, if her story holds up, then, you know, that's intent. To go in as an armed intruder into an apartment, there would have to be some intent follow that action. If it was an accident, that's different. Right now, I would say the available evidence doesn't support a murder charge. It supports a manslaughter charge and further investigation, but you can always up the charge later if you find, you know, something that warrants.
And here was my problem, too, that I had a little bit with this, was he wanted to draw out that there's a, you know, if she was a black man that came in and shot a white person, that automatically the charges would be stronger, she'd been immediately arrested and charged, you know, all of this would have happened. And I don't think race is it. Let me say, I don't think race is it. I think it's the fact she's a police officer. And there's a difference in how they would be treating, okay, there's a police officer, she's had training, let's look at this situation a little bit more. And I can kind of understand that. I don't think it has anything to do with race.
I got to have a motive. If this is not an accident, then what's the motive? It's a stranger. Is she a stone cold racist? Can we look at her Facebook page? Can we look at her Instagram accounts? Can we dig through her computer and find, you know, go to her apartment, and does she have KKK materials laying around? Is she a white supremacist? I have none of that information. But there would have to be, if you can establish a relationship between the guy in the apartment and her, if there's no prior relationship, okay, then if it's murder, what's the motive? Is she a racist, and did she just go, I know there's a black guy that lives here, I think I'll go shoot him because I don't like black people? That would be racism.
Right.
I mean, so... But it's not racist if she really did think she was in the wrong apartment and the guy, in her apartment, and the guy just happened to be black.
Yeah. Well, and he's saying, you know, there's no impartial justice here. And I'm sitting here going, I don't think there's enough information for us to say
that there's impartial justice.
Right.
They're investigating.
That's right.
And there's a whole, how many questions have I already raised? It's going to take a while to unravel this. If they can discover a motive, if they find one thing, one little thing that links her to this guy previously.
Well, I was all fired up to be like, yeah, this is horrible. She's a horrible cop. This needs to be, bring the hammer down when I was first hearing about it, because that's the way that, we're portraying.
And that may be true.
Yeah.
But think about this.
I read the details and I was like, wait a minute.
What's another reason that she would be pounding on the door and saying, let me in, let me in? You know, is that's she just picked a random apartment to do that for? Was she being chased? Did she feel threatened?
Who's the other voice, too?
There's just all kinds.
There was apparently a male voice involved here, so was there another person?
Well, I think the implication is that it's his voice. I mean, it's possible to be shot twice and still be able to say, why did you do that? That's possible. It's also possible that it's another witness. I don't know that that's even been established yet. Mike, thanks for calling.
Hey, I'm with you. I don't know the motivation, but just say that she thought it was her apartment and somebody was inside. So, you know, she probably thought she was coming against an intruder. So.
Well, yeah, that's her story.
Yeah.
That's her story.
My question would be.
She also said before you ask your question, she also says that she gave verbal commands and the guy didn't obey. So this is, you know, Now she's using a police defense because, you know, as a police officer, she's giving verbal commands to somebody and they don't comply, then that can go toward their defense, and she knows that. See, that bothers me a little bit because she was not in, well, she thinks she was in a situation where she was facing a burglar, so she would give those commands. But the guy, what you know, some guy sitting there minding his own business, and somebody comes into opens the door to his apartment.
He's probably surprised. I mean, depending on how fast that
issuing
happened.
Commands. Yeah, if he had moved toward her when she was giving commands. See, in a situation where a crime has been committed, or you've got somebody who is usually. The police officer and the perpetrator know what the incident is about, both
right,
of them.
Right.
And so if you're giving somebody commands and it's in a situation where they've been involved in some type of activity, either they've got a weapon or they had a weapon or they've got witnesses that are saying, this is the guy, and you're saying, stop and, you know, put the weapon down or get down on the ground or lay down on your whatever. Then that's a little bit different than being in a situation where she's a police officer. She walks into what she thinks is her apartment and confronts a stranger. And there's no, where's the, what expectation on this guy's part is there that he's supposed to be following her commands?
Like, what, if somebody else came into your apartment,
what if he was sleeping in the chair, you know, what's going on? And he's moving toward her, bang, bang. I mean, that could have been what happened. Anyway, go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
What if she really thought that was her apartment and that happened? Should she get off on manslaughter? I mean, that was a horrible thing. That guy was in his own apartment. That's what, you know, is hard for me to make a decision.
Well, but okay, thanks, Mike. It at that point, it is a matter of the law. Mm-hmm. If she killed him accidentally, it's manslaughter. I mean, it could be even, you know... Oh, there's another term that's under manslaughter. There's manslaughter in the first degree, manslaughter in the second degree, and manslaughter in the second degree is a reckless action taken by a person. But see, now in Texas, this happened in Texas, and the statute for murder in Texas actually sounds like a manslaughter charge in just about any other state, because you can be charged in Texas, you can be charged with murder if you simply recklessly cause the death of another person. So under Texas law, even now, she could be charged with murder. And so that's another thing I'm sure they're trying to sort out. Jim, go ahead.
Let me ask one question before I get my thought. Did I understand she was in street clothes when she went in the door?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She was in uniform.
She was not in uniform. No, she was in street clothes.
Like her civilian clothes.
Yeah, just whatever she had on that day.
My question as far as one I've been wanting to say for a long time, particularly with us Christians, it seems like we're getting like the media. We've got to have all the answers and all of it, and we'll string it out for 20 or 30 minutes when we should say basically what happened and say we don't have enough information here, and we'll talk about this later. It's like we're talking about so many issues anymore without waiting, patiently waiting, as a Christian does, for more information before we can adequately talk about it. Does that make sense?
No, because this is a talk radio program, and that's what we do. We talk about stories, and we give opinions, and we've got enough with the information that we have right now. I think I've said probably half a dozen times, we don't have enough information yet to make a final decision, but we're providing you with the information that we have, and we're having a discussion about some of the discrepancies in the story to this point. So I think that's absolutely legitimate, and I don't think it's unchristian to do that, and I don't think we're being like the rest of the media when we do it.
So am I still on?
Yeah, you're still here.
Well, I agree with what you just said, the discrepancies in the story. But it seems like to me we should wait until we get more information to understand the discrepancy, because we could talk about 20 or 30, 40 more discrepancies. It just seemed like to me a lot of stories, and I'm talking about myself too. We don't want to wait until we find out really the true information to establish our discrepancies.
Well, here's the thing though, Jim. This has already out there. I mean, David French is one of the most respected columnists and pundits in the country. He's already decided that this woman's a criminal and she needs to be locked up and they need to throw away the key. And he's hoping the grand jury escalates the charge to murder. One of the reasons we're talking about this is I think that that's a little bit, pardon the pun, too quick on the draw, because we're pointing out things that we don't know about this. So anyway, Jim, thanks for the call.
I think the problem
that problem during the break, and then let's bring that problem back with us when we come back. Stay with us.
And here are your hosts, Hannah Miller and Dr. Tony Bean.
Okay, go ahead.
Well,
you had
my
a
question,
problem.
Well, yeah, my response to Jim, which was that I think I kind of understand what he was trying to say, which is that it seems like the media oftentimes presents facts and draws a conclusion without telling people, honestly, we don't have all the facts yet and we can't draw a conclusion. And the media can draw conclusions prematurely. Now, I think we're pretty good about, and we just sat here and said, we don't have the facts. We can't draw a conclusion yet. But people, and oftentimes the media, will have the 2 to 3 facts that they have. They'll jump to a conclusion and they present that as the whole story and they never come back and say, well, more details have come out, or right, et cetera, et cetera. And that's a problem, because
well,
we're
you
supposed
raised
to be talking
story,
about this, too.
I saw the headline, and then you mentioned it, and I thought, well, let me go look. And as I read the story, I think what made me want to talk about it was David French.
Because yeah, I was upset normally, that David French, he's on point. No, and I was like, what, David?
And I was like, wait a minute, you just had a trial, you convicted this woman, and we're way off from that. Right. And his complaint about the fact that it was 3 days, she walked around with her freedom for 3 days, come on. If he doesn't know this, he should. When one law enforcement agency cedes the investigation or gives it over to another law enforcement agency, they're not just going to automatically go out and arrest her until they have probable cause. They've got to do an investigation. And to me, 3 days was pretty doggone quick.
Right.
Quite frankly.
Well, and if the shoe was on the other foot and they're trying to do this and they arrested her without probable cause, what will we all be saying? It's just a regular citizen. We would say, well, wait a minute.
Right.
I mean,
and what we would also be facing is the possibility that a judge throws it out because they didn't have enough evidence to get an arrest warrant. So in any event, this is going to play out and we'll find out more about it. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on what I've done is present questions that are based on and I have a limited knowledge of law enforcement. I don't want to pass myself off as some kind of, or super detective. But we do investigations at North Greenville, and we have, we have to interview students, and we have to get information. And, I'm just saying that that we would be sitting around going, okay, here's what we're going to do now. Why was the room dark? Why, if indeed it was, can we establish that that's a fact? She's saying it was dark. Well, that could be a little bit convenient, simply because she's probably the only other person that could confirm that is dead. So, as I said, the room would have to be dark for her story to be plausible, because she pushes the door open on an apartment with the lights on and some guy gets up and turns around and goes, what are you doing here? And she thinks it's her apartment. That doesn't fly. So I guess I'm saying she had to say the lights were out.
Right.
And which makes me, it doesn't mean it's not true. It just makes me question. And then I want to know the witnesses. I'm tracing the relationship. I'm trying to find you. You've got to have means, motive, opportunity. I forget what the other. Those are the three main things. You know, to establish a crime, you have to have opportunity. You have to have motive. You have to have the ability to commit the crime. Well, she obviously was carrying a weapon, so she had the ability. But here's the question. Does she have what motive is there to establish this crime? There has to be, it either was an accident or she had a reason. And that reason is going to be important if they're going to turn this into a crime. Her argument is going to be, this is a horrible tragedy, it was mistaken, not identity, but location. I made a mistake rather than, I had a motive to go kill this guy. And that's two different things. She could still be convicted, in my opinion, of manslaughter if she made a mistake on that
level. What I wanted to ask you. I wanted to ask you, what if everything comes out and we find out this was just a horrible mistake? Well, what do we do now? Does she stay on the force?
No, you go to the jury. You take the trial to the jury and you let them decide whether she's guilty of manslaughter or if they're just going to let her go. Now, you know, I would have a hard time voting against something.
Yeah.
I mean, I might knock it down, or if I was really convinced that she was the victim.
Well, I think,
or I mean, not the victim, but if she was had made this terrible mistake, but there's still
consequences for our mistakes.
There is. I mean, if I'm going down the road and I turn left in front of somebody and I don't see them coming, I mean, that's and somebody gets killed in that accident. That's a terrible mistake. It's not, I didn't intend for that to happen, but it happened. And was I reckless? Was I negligent? You know, and then those questions begin to come into play. If it's determined that it really was a situation where she believed she was walking into her apartment, then the questions begin. She's a trained police officer. Did her training cause her to respond this way? Was she negligent? Should she have waited before she fired her weapon? Should she have tried further to identify the man? Did she believe he had a weapon? Even if there's an intruder in her apartment, she should be able to decide, and she's outside the apartment.
Right.
She's still, because she said,
you know, I did not enter the apartment.
I did not enter until, well, okay, you couldn't establish whether the guy had a weapon or not. Why not try to take him into custody? Why not pull back out into the hallway against the door and determine whether the guy's armed?
Right. And for him to have been far enough away for her to say he was just this big, you know, dark blur in the room, he was far enough away for her to not feel threatened at the moment. So I think that pulling your weapon automatically and taking shots is a little premature.
Well, you'd be surprised. One of the things they teach you, when you take, even if you do a concealed weapons class, the time it takes to cover, like, if somebody's, we're about what? We're about 5 feet apart.
Four, five
feet apart. All right. You'd be surprised how fast I can close this distance.
Right.
I mean, even if you're if you're standing here pointing a gun.
But how far away would you have to be for you not to see that they've got any kind of weapon? This is just somebody standing there confused.
Well,
even in the dark,
it's just a dark blur.
If it's
pitch black, and that's another thing. You know, you raised the question: did he have the TV on, or is he just sitting there?
What about the hallway lights?
In the absolute darkness. Well, if he's over,
always just going to illuminate the hallway,
the hallway, and maybe and the entrance, the entryway. But if he's over in a corner of the apartment where there's no light, and he gets up and comes toward the door, then no, she would. I mean, legitimately, that would be a situation where she wouldn't be able to tell much about him. But still, even with all that taken into consideration, there's too many questions.
Flip on a light switch.
Yeah.
Isn't there a light switch right by the door?
I don't know.
So you can see what's going on.
That's
now,
what I'm
obviously,
saying.
She was heightened if the door was ajar and she thinks it's her apartment. And wait a second, why is my door slightly open?
Right.
But it could be a kid. You don't want to shoot a kid either. I mean, let's flip the light on and see what's going on.
Well, you know, look, we're both huge.
All this is going to go
supportive of the Second Amendment. You
sure
know,
we
believe people should have the right to a CWP, and police officers, et cetera, et cetera. But we both say all the time, and not to use a cliche, but it is a cliche, but it's appropriate here, is that with great power comes great responsibility. And so just because you have the right to bear it means you have a lot of responsibility to bear it well.
Oh yeah.
And that's what, you know, so we don't want, if you bear it poorly, there are consequences for that. And we're not, you know, we don't want to run around and say we're going to take everybody's Second Amendment rights. That's definitely not what we say. But we would say, you know what, you have the right to it, but you have the responsibility for it, and there are consequences if you bear it poorly.
Well, there's automatically going to be an element, a racial element injected in the story, whether it's there or not. I'm disappointed that David French put it there.
Yeah.
I've never known him to do that before. And I don't, because if there's a racial element, then motive is going to have to be determined, and we're a long way off from that. All right, that's all. I mean, we'll follow the story, and it'll be interesting to see. I'm sure the Texas Rangers will do a good job, and there'll be a lot more to talk about once they have a lot more information. 888-660-9535. Stay with us.
Right now, here are your hosts, Hannah Miller and Dr. Tony Bean.
All right, welcome back to the program. We're talking about this case out in Texas. We've got a couple of calls on it, so we'll prolong the discussion a little bit. Brian says he has more information. Brian, thanks for calling.
Hey, Tony and Hannah. Love y'all's show.
Thank you.
Sorry to kind of prolong a little bit.
It's all right. Fine.
But I think there were two details that I remember reading that y'all might have been forgetting or skipping over. One is which
well, time
was
out.
Drunk.
Time out before we. Yeah, where did you get that? Because I've read a half a dozen
articles
major news stories on this, and not one has mentioned alcohol. So what story?
It's been like 2 days. This is when it broke that I saw this, and unfortunately, I don't remember where I saw it. I get a lot on Reddit, and I look up all the different stories that are posted. So.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
I'll look it up after I get hang up, and I'll shoot it over on your Facebook if I find it. But that was the one thing I remember. And the second thing was that when she showed up, the door was locked, and she was banging on the door to get in when her key didn't work. And the investigators found her key broken off in the lock, which means that he came and actually opened the door for her, which is that means that he's, like, right there. If somebody unlocked your door from the inside,
well,
it's kind of wild that you would just immediately shoot them.
Yeah, Brian, there's a problem with that. It wasn't a key lock. It was a card lock. According to every – I mean, the stories that I've read said that it was an electronic key, which means
this
that –
This is where we get into the whole not enough information yet, that I was given some information by an outlet that just claimed they were – That was fact, and so now we're finding out it's not fact.
Well, see, that's why I ask you, what source did this come from?
Yeah,
because
I'm going to dig it up. I'll send it over to you.
Okay, I appreciate it,
thanks.
Brian. Thanks for the call. Douglas, you're next.
Yeah, I know very little about this case. I just found out about it, and one thought that I was thinking about is she lived, okay, her apartment's on the third floor, correct, and he was on the fourth floor.
I don't know what the actual numbers were, but yes, he was above her, directly above his apartment was directly above hers on another floor.
Right.
I'm not an investigator, but the first thing came to my mind: if he's above her, who's to say that there wasn't? She got tired of maybe Noah's up above her or something.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, and there
that's
would be
a possibility.
Motive,
there's been no, but that's a good thought, Douglas. We haven't seen anything that would indicate that, but that was, you know, we were talking earlier about you would have to establish motive if you have something other than an accidental shooting. Then you have to ask the question, okay, why did she do it? If it wasn't an accident, there has to be another explanation. And that explanation would determine whether it's murder or manslaughter or murder in the first degree or murder in the... I mean, if it turns out she knew the guy and that he stiffed her at a convenience store... I mean, I'm making all of this up. He stiffs her at a convenience store or does something to tick her off, and then she goes and finds an opportunity to go shoot the guy. That's premeditated murder.
Yeah.
So but there's nothing that would indicate that any of what I just said. I'm just giving that as an example of what would constitute a higher charge that would be maybe premeditated murder.
Right.
So anyway,
if there was Noah up above, that could trigger some people off.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm gonna tell you, if a police then we got a real big problem. If a police officer decides that it's appropriate to go, you know, that guy up there, he's hacking me off. I was gonna go shoot him, and I, you know, that hopefully that didn't happen. But we don't know. I don't like the fact, Douglas, that this is automatically being considered a case about race. Because, I mean, profiling.
Or bad police officers.
There was no opportunity to profile the person that she shot. I mean, profiling is when you see somebody on the street in a neighborhood that perhaps you think that a person of that color should not be in at a particular time of day, and you go stop that person and begin to ask them questions based on the fact that they're of their race. It's not profiling when you're in a bang-bang immediate situation where you're making a life and death decision if that's what happened. I just don't see this. It's not racial unless they had a previous relationship or in a dark apartment. I don't know that she knew he was black when she shot. I mean, maybe, but we don't know that. Milo's on the phone. Milo, thanks for calling.
Did you mention the fact that she had actually parked on the above the floor above instead of walking up the stairs or taking an elevator to the getting off on the wrong floor. Their apartment building has parking adjacent to each floor, and she had actually parked on the wrong floor. To me, that would say that trying to navigate bad traffic. To me, this says that if the events are as they're being described, that this has to be premeditated, because this indicates that she would have had to have planned this out. Same thing with what the previous caller was saying, which is that this is an issue where she was upset because he was living above her, making too much noise, or like what you were saying, if she had profiled him and didn't like it, the fact that she was black and therefore it was a racial incident, all of that says basically it has to be premeditated. So I don't think any of the other events show premeditation. So I'm just kind of leaning towards the officer's story at this point. Plus the fact that she just got through working a 15-hour shift.
Yeah. Well, see, where did you get that information, Mott? Real quick, we're about to hit the news. Where did you get that information?
Fox News.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Milo. We got Fox News coming up. Maybe they'll tell us what Milo just said. We'll be back after Fox, and we'll have a great interview with Alan Henderson, station manager here at his radio.